97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome into Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Coxon here, along with Bo Matthews and Carl Middleman. Great to have you back this week. You recognize that, Bo?
I absolutely do. And there's breaking news about that show, by the way.
I told him that.
Oh, did you hear it?
Carl informed me. Yes,
you scooped me again, man.
Sorry, man.
Yellowstone is a great program. You've been. Did it inspire you to pick your destination?
It did not.
Come on.
But I'll explain in a minute. Go ahead.
So the show 1886 or whatever it's called.
Well, there are two of them. 1883, because that's the year that I guess they're going to travel back to.
Gotcha.
And then there's one going to be called 4-6s, and the one that you're talking about has Sam Elliott.
Yes. Tim McGraw, Faith Hill.
And it's going to be a prequel of Yellowstone.
So they're doing an extension of the other one?
Going
the other
them.
Way? What's
no,
the 4-6s?
I just want to see.
4-6s is the name of the ranch.
Oh.
I just want to see the last season. The next season.
Coming
when
up
is that?
Soon.
I know. Not soon enough.
Great program, though.
So we're talking about that because my absence last week here from Second Amendment Radio had to do with my vacation, which was to first Glacier National Park.
Unbelievable.
Then Yellowstone and then Grand Teton National Park.
And you're here.
We did all three.
I see no scars on you. I see no bandages.
There's a few. I didn't have a direct run in with anything other than a moose.
Oh, really?
I was prepared.
Okay.
But we camped in a place called Mini Glacier, which is a campground within Glacier National Park on the east side. You have to enter it through a St. Mary and a place called Bab, and you have to drive back a gravel road for about 10 or 12 miles to get to it. And it's all remote camping. You don't have any electricity or sewer, water, anything like that.
And you were ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
Are we in a tent or teepee or?
Just a pole trailer.
Okay.
Small pole trailer.
Pop-up style?
No.
It's
called a casita. We're casita owners these days. It's just a small, self-contained 17-foot trailer. It's fantastic, right?
Generator?
Yeah. I did have a generator with
good,
me.
Good man.
I did. So we walked to a small lake very close to our campground. And we were told there were bears in the area, so we're on the lookout for that. Mm-hmm. We got our bear spray. I've got my Glock 20 strapped on my hip.
You had to get that.
Had to have that.
Sorry.
In case the bear spray is like, you know, last resort, and the gun is the last resort. But I felt better having it with me. So we walked down to this lake shore, and what do we see? A female moose.
Uh-oh.
Known to be more aggressive than the male counterpart, even though they don't have the huge rack on them.
Hold on. So did you say that out loud?
I did.
She didn't have a large rack.
She didn't. The female moose did not.
Oh, you mean
not
horns,
have a rack.
Horns.
Horns. And she's in the water. This lake is fairly shallow. And a number of people had gathered there watching her. Suddenly she starts moving toward us.
Oh, no.
Which point we start moving back up into the woods because you never know what they're going to do.
Same animal that the moose has the brain of the size of a walnut, correct?
I think so, yeah.
They kill just to kill.
They don't see well, and apparently they're more aggressive as a result of that.
Okay.
So we took our daughter, moved back up into the woods a little bit. Moose passed by and then cut left when it got past the people and ran off into the woods. So it didn't harm anyone. That was our closest encounter. But we just saw lots of grizzly bears, brown bears from a distance, lots of deer when we were in Yellowstone. But I'll just have to tell you, Glacier National Park is my favorite national park in this country. And for anybody who hasn't seen it, it's simply breathtaking.
You saw a glacier.
More so than I hiked to a glacier, Grinnell, however they pronounce it up there. Then we left there and went to Yellowstone. What a letdown. I'm sorry. I'm just going to tell you now.
The show is better than the town?
Well, Yellowstone
1883,
National...
1883, which isn't even out yet.
Yellowstone National Park is huge.
Yeah.
Everybody's familiar with Old Faithful. It's beautiful. It's huge. You can drive all across it and see. They have their own big canyon there you can see. And it's beautiful, but it's like I describe it as being like the amusement park of national parks. Every 10 miles, there's a visitor center with a store and a restaurant and all this. You don't have to hike anywhere in Yellowstone. You can drive to every single thing you want to see. So you can, you know, take the family, and it's just like an amusement park, even though there's wild animals there. I mean, you have to, they tell you to watch out for bears and stuff like that.
And thousands of square miles.
After being in Glacier, which is, there's only one road that runs through the whole park, you can hike into fairly remote areas if you want to. There's just no comparison between the two.
Really?
Beautiful.
Wow.
Beautiful. In fact, I that's probably my last trip to Yellowstone, I'd have to say.
And you went fishing? Where'd you go fishing?
I did go fishing. So we were talking about this before the show started because Bo had asked me about my reading glasses that I had on my perched on my nose. And I said, this is not my favorite pair of glasses because I lost a pair while fly fishing. I'm fly fishing in the middle Flathead River, which flows out of Glacier. There's the upper, the middle, and the lower Flathead River. I've got my waders on.
Look like Brad Pitt and a river runs through it.
I'm sure I looked better than Brad Pitt.
Okay. Dang right.
my wife would say
your wife tending a fire in case you can get dinner for the family?
She was on the shore sunbathing, sitting in the chair enjoying the nice weather, and I'm out there in the up to about my waist and in the stream, which is, you know, flowing pretty well, and I'm an amateur fly fisherman. I like it, but I don't catch much, and I'm not very good at it. I'm still learning. And I got the line tangled up around the end of the pole.
Right.
And tried to pull the pole down to fix it, and my glasses fell in the water. I lost my glasses in the middle of the Flathead River.
Well, I've learned Dollar Tree, everything's a dollar store. Dude, that's where I get my cheaters.
I'm telling you.
Because you can sit on them, you can lose them, you can fly fish and lose them. That's no problem. So I have a question about the air quality. Because even my family in upstate New York and in Minnesota, they're like, oh, the smoke is terrible from the wildfires. Any effect of that for you?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Not only when we first got there, my wife got out there a little bit ahead of me. You could tell there was a haze over the mountains from the wildfires out west. And by west, I mean west coast. After we got there, a fire broke out on the northwestern edge of Glacier in a place called Pole Bridge. And that started, you could smell that. It was close enough that you could smell
it. Sure.
And then right after we left, they had another fire just to the south of Glacier proper. Down near Flathead Lake, and that was of growing concern. So it's a tinderbox out there right
now. Amazing.
The wildfires are going on, and you can still see the impact of fires from 10, 15 years ago as you drive through the park.
Sure.
Takes a long time for the environment to come back, but it's something that usually occurs naturally, lightning, something like that, and it's just something you have to deal with. It's more of a problem this year because so many people are going to national parks because of COVID. They're traveling domestically, and they're driving, and it's what we did.
That was my next question for you, because I'm interviewing you now, Mark Cox.
Thank you, Bo Matthews.
No, I'm curious because I still have not had a vacation this summer, and this could be an option because we're obviously going to drive. We keep hearing about the national parks, and even the state parks are just loaded. Did you feel like it was overcrowded out there, or is it just so big it doesn't matter?
It once you're in the park, you don't notice it as much. Now, Yellowstone was different because there's so many tourist centers in Yellowstone.
It's an amusement park.
Outside of that, though, in Glacier proper, you have to have a you have to have a permit to get in now. So you have to have a national park pass. Then you have to have a reservation for they last for 5 or 6 days, and then you can drive into the park. If you don't, you have to be in the park before 6 in the morning or after 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And what they've done by doing that is control the number of people in the park. The result of it is, though, sometimes around 8 or 9, and if you go too late, There's a lot of traffic trying to get into the park.
Right.
So I just warn you, if you go, make sure you have your reservations and make sure you know what the traffic patterns are. So you can either go early and beat that or go a little later and beat it.
Okay. So
One more thing that you need to know that Mark mentioned on the air when he got back on Thursday. How much was a gallon of diesel?
I'm traveling south from Teton National Park through Wyoming. We'd been going an hour, hadn't seen a gas station. We finally found one and pulled in. They were charging $4.69 a gallon for diesel.
Oh my.
Of course, you're in the middle of nowhere.
And you have no other choice.
But you could routinely $4 a gallon up there for diesel, which is normally a little more than unleaded. But they got you where they want you because you have no options.
On your way back, on a positive note, did you stop by Rushmore?
We went last year. We didn't go this year.
Okay.
No, we came down through Denver to come back.
Oh, but beautiful.
We
That's
did
a beautiful
last
route.
Year we did.
Good
yeah,
deal.
It was beautiful.
Good deal.
Beautiful.
Well,
everybody's got to go.
Really good to have you back. Thanks for sharing it was kind of like show and tell.
It was,
you know?
Very nice.
Except no bandages from the bear, the grizzly bear that got you. Coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, hunters, this will be your segment. John Winkleman is going to be talking about maybe some changes that are to the hunting rules for the Missouri Department of Conservation. This is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
If I hit that fishing hole today, she'd be packing all her things and she'd be gone by noon. Well, I'm gonna miss her when I get home.
It is Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox, Bo Matthews, Carl Middleman. This segment is brought to you by Chuck's Boots. Chuck's Boots has given away a Polaris 1000. It's an awesome machine, and they've teamed up with Thoroughgood Boots. To get registered to win this machine, go to Chuck's Boots Facebook page, or you can go to their store's website, chucksboots.com. You can also shop in their stores, Fenton and St. Peter's. But it's a Polaris side-by-side brought to you by Chuck's Boots and Thoroughgood Boots.
Can I just tell you how out of place I was in Montana and Wyoming because I didn't have a pair of boots on?
What did you?
So maybe I need to. I have boots.
What'd you wear?
In fact, I bought them at Chuck's Boots.
I just didn't.
I just didn't take them with me because we were planning to hike and all this stuff. We went to the rodeo. I think I was the only person there in a pair of tennis shoes. Honestly, so everybody had boots on.
Did you do everything?
Oh, we tried to.
Tennis shoes.
No, I did. I had my hiking boots with me, but when I wasn't wearing those, my feet needed some relief, so I put tennis shoes on. It's good.
Yeah. Cowboy boots have really. I mean, I know they're really popular. They are the thing, but they are not comfortable long term, unless you're on a horse.
If you're on a horse, they're good.
Maybe that's
it's good
the
stuff. Absolutely.
All right. Well, in this segment, John Winkleman is marketing director for Ligori Publications near Barnhart, Missouri, and the associate editor for Outdoor Guide magazine. I saw his article and I thought, well, that makes sense to put him on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. He has a fall hunting booklet detailing the several changes from the Missouri Department of Conservation. The funny thing is, it's kind of like getting a congressional bill that's 8,000 pages, and then you got somebody to boil it down. I think John's that guy, Mark.
Yeah, he probably is. John, welcome into the show this morning.
Thank you very much, Carl and Bo and Mark. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about the changes for upcoming hunting season.
Well, people get confused by it. It always seems to change just a little bit every year. We've talked about this chronic wasting disease problem that we have, and it affects some counties. It doesn't affect other counties. What should people pay the most attention to this hunting season?
So the biggest thing I think of it is that in those counties that are affected, and includes Jefferson County and much of the St. Louis region, is that the sampling is mandatory again this year. It was not last year because of the fear of spreading the COVID-19 among those in those sampling stations. But this year, there will be mandatory sampling again. So anyone who takes a deer in any of those 34 counties, they need to stop by on Saturday or Sunday of opening weekend and get their deer tested for chronic wasting disease.
Wow. So
it allows them to get a large sample size of tissue to be tested.
And so, I mean, I'm sure people kind of hoped maybe we were past that because if you're going to slaughter the deer yourself, mm-hmm. then you've got the additional hassle of having to take it to a station, correct?
Well, it is, but you're also participating in that citizen science to be able to find out where it is and where it has potentially spread. There are 34 counties that are inside the containment zone. It's not unreasonable to believe there are twice that many that have some cases of it. It's just identifying where they are. They added two new counties this year. Because of new samples found that were outside of those areas.
And John, how was it dealt with last year?
Well, last year it was voluntary, so they still had the sampling stations. You just were not required to bring it in. And the reason was because of your 80-year-old hunter, you maybe don't want to go where other people are congregating. And for those Conservation Department officials and volunteers who were there doing the sampling, everybody just coming in out of the woods and had the potential of spreading the disease that we didn't have vaccine for and we didn't have...
I was under the impression that chronic waste disease disappeared like the flu did.
No, I don't think that was it at all. But the one thing that hasn't changed, John, is if you're taking your deer to a meat processing plant in one of these counties affected, the testing is done there, correct?
The testing can be done in some of those, and some taxidermists do it.
Okay.
If you're going to donate your deer through the Share the Harvest program, it has to be tested. But if you're just taking it to John's Butcher Shop, it does not have to be tested and would not be tested without your request. And I don't think, I just picked John's out of the hat, is a sampling station.
Okay,
so most of it won't be unless you take it either to the mandatory testing or... to one of their five or six, and I know mostly Jefferson County, there are five or six in Jefferson County taxidermists who will sample it voluntarily.
You know, I think the question that brings to my mind is, how do they enforce this? How does the Department of Conservation enforce that? So if you take out a tag and you tag the deer, mm-hmm. are there potential consequences if you don't get it tested?
I doubt if there will be hard consequences, but they certainly would have the record of it. They certainly would be able to send a conservation agent to say, look, we see that you checked this deer on November 13th, but it never showed up at a check station here in Jefferson County.
Okay.
But I don't think they're going to come and haul people away, or I don't know of any fines for it either. It's just good citizenry to try to participate.
So you're basically tipping off the government that they're missing a revenue stream here. hey, John, since this is your world, I'm not a hunter, but this is your world, do you feel that like last year or maybe even this year coming up, more people are getting into hunting? Like a lot of people got into gardening because of the different world we're living in?
I think that's a pretty good observation that there are, it's one of those activities. It is an activity, just like hiking, and people went out picnicking and spending time outdoors away from large crowds of people. There is no more social distancing than being 15 feet up a tree in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, that's true.
Although a buddy stand with your kid or a buddy stand with a grandkid or a young hunter, first-time hunter, that's a great place to spend some time.
That's a great point. We're talking to John Winkelman, Marketing Director for Liguori Publications, down near Barnhart, Associate Editor for Outdoor Guide Magazine. And John, so it's not... So in addition to the checking of the for the chronic wasting disease this year, there are also some, in some counties, if I read your story properly, people can get additional deer tags this year, right?
Yep, and that is also in response. There are 17 counties that have additional any deer permit, not any deer permits, antlerless only deer permits. And again, that is about the population control. In those areas where they are, the number of deer are overwhelming the habitat there, and so they want people to take more antlerless deer, more does out of the herd to make sure they're managing the size of that. And it also, in limiting the spread of chronic wasting disease.
Yeah, we need some of that in Wildwood. I don't know that that's included, but we need to limit some of that out in Wildwood and Chesterfield, I'm telling you.
John, I've got a question. Since we've all learned the term gain of function and how a virus can come from the wild into human and interaction, can you explain chronic waste disease? What can it do to somebody if they consume the venison that they hunt that has chronic waste disease?
There is no evidence that it can be transmitted yet between the deer and humans. So that has not happened. What they can do to avoid the potential is avoid the spinal column, brain tissue, those places where that folded prion is. And most people do. Most people just take the meat off the bones and leave the spinal column intact and don't ever cut into the head. So, but there is no evidence of it. But it is very, it is similar, same type of disease as mad cow disease. And when they had the outbreak of that in Europe, there were, and even some in America, cases of people getting chronic, or getting mad cow disease from that.
So, I really thought it was going to be a dumb question, but it's not a terrible question, right? You've been around people with conversations about stuff like this since we've learned gain of function?
Yeah. It is not transmissible. I mean, it's transmissible from deer to deer, deer to elk and others in that family, but there has been no evidence of it moving across species.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I brought up deer first because that seems to be probably the most popular hunting sport in the state. But I'd wonder, there are also some changes to turkey season this year, right?
Fall turkey hunting season, I don't know of any specific changes to it. It's the all full month of October for firearms turkey hunting season, and I don't recall any changes in the archery portion of turkey hunting season for this fall either. So,
okay, in the 76-page booklet, the standards that are familiar in the publications are still handy. The sunrise sunset table. Can you explain that to the hunters that are listening to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors right now?
I'd be happy to. The reason that that's in there is so that you know legal shooting hours start 30 minutes before sunrise and end 30 minutes after sunset. And that chart gives the official times for Jefferson City. So if you're hunting on that same parallel as Jefferson City, that's the time, 30 minutes before and 30 minutes after, that you can legally shoot in Missouri. If you're hunting over here on the St. Louis side, it's 13 miles, 1 minute for every 13 miles. The sun obviously sets later and rises sooner further west in Jefferson City.
Yeah,
so that chart allows you to figure out when you are legal shooting. The 30 minutes is by 30 minutes after sunset, it is too dark to safely shoot. And more than 30 minutes before sunrise, it really is too dark. So safety dictates it as much as the clock.
So it's always good to know, though, because you're sitting up in the stand and you're starting to see the dawn just a little bit, and then you're not sure exactly what time official sunset is. So it's good to know that stuff, right?
And your night vision scope, Mark, you're going to have to leave that.
You have to leave that for some other activity.
Yeah, there you go, activity. Love that.
Yeah, that's the truth. So John, just tell people who are listening, where can they find the guide and get this information?
So the best, I always have, and everybody has their cell phone, and I always keep a PDF copy of it open on my Safari on my phone so that I always have it with me at all times when I'm out hunting or someone asks a question. I can look it up that way.
Smart.
I also usually keep a printed copy of the book in my truck. And you can pick it up wherever you buy a permit. So if it's Dunn Sporting Goods or anywhere of the big box stores, anywhere that sells a hunting and fishing license should have copies of that book. And any conservation department, Powder Valley Nature Center, you can pick them up there. Or if you see your conservation agent, usually they keep a stack of them with them too.
Is there any other changes that you'd like to mention on this show that were maybe some major changes that we didn't cover yet?
Not for the Jefferson. Oh, yeah. The other big change is that the antlerless portion of the season used to just be a 3-day long season, and this year it's going to be a 9-day season.
Whoa.
So it's going to be that first full weekend of December. So that's December 4th through December 12th. You get 2 weekends for antlerless hunting, and plus, if you're fortunate enough to have the time off during the week, you get those 5 days in between. So December 4th through December 12th. Is the antlerless only portion, and it's in almost all the counties. I believe there are a dozen or so that aren't included in the antlerless portion.
Very nice. Carl, you need to go ahead and help me schedule my vacation.
Yeah, I knew you were going to do that.
December.
Just got back.
Just kidding. Hey, I tell you what, John Winkleman, thanks so much for giving us some time this morning. We appreciate you.
I enjoyed the time. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, you
good,
bet.
Good hunting, buddy.
Yeah, you bet. Marketing director there, Liguori Publications, down near Barnhart, associate editor for Outdoor Guide Magazine. Fantastic.
All right, Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors continues. In our next segment, we are going to be talking guns. Are you ready for that?
I am.
Cool, always.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Carl, you're going to have to school me on this one.
That's the Beatles. Happiness is a Warm Gun.
What?
Yes.
Never have heard that. Have you?
I'm shocked.
It's John Lennon singing.
John Lennon would sing a song with. It must be satire, right?
No.
I'm guessing.
Skip Weber has nothing on you. Or you have nothing on... No. Skip Weber has nothing on you.
We compliment each other very well.
Is that what it is? It's a great partnership. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. This segment brought to you by Razorback Armory, your gun concierge located in De Pere. Great store. If you've never been, stop in to see Jesse, Brad, and the crew a half a mile east of 270 on Manchester Road next to the tennis store. But find their address and find out all about Razorback Armory at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you.
Hey, good. So if you paid any attention to my show on 97.1, we've talked about this a lot, but the infrastructure bill that we've discussed has been a big issue because of the overspending and, you know, everything but the kitchen sink that's been crammed into this thing that didn't have anything to do with infrastructure. So you may be thinking to yourself, well, why are you talking to me about the infrastructure bill on 2A radio, right, and the Great Outdoors? Well, it could impact your Second Amendment rights as well.
Are you serious?
Oh, I know.
Hold on. I pictured Oprah saying, you get a bridge, you get a bridge, you get a bridge.
Yeah. That's it. We got Michael Hammond with us this morning, often a guest on my program. He's with Gun Owners of America. And Michael, welcome into the show, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you, Bo. Thank you, Mark.
Nice to meet you, buddy.
Hello, Michael. I was telling Bo just a minute ago about your St. Louis connection here. You went to Wash U, right?
Yes, although not particularly proud of it. I was there during the Vietnam demonstrations, and I was one of the three attendees at that university who was a member of ROTC.
Oh, wow.
So I basically had girls try to jerk my pants off, not for the right reason. And... actually, that's an actual story.
This sounds like a real life experience.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah,
so I did have good memories. So.
Yeah, that's good.
Don't we all? That's called pantsing now, by the way. It's an actual thing.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
So Michael, back to this infrastructure bill. This is fascinating to me. How in the world has the left managed to turn an infrastructure bill into some anti-Second Amendment effort? What's going on here?
Well, first of all, Gun Owners of America, I think, is about to put out an alert saying vote against cloture on the infrastructure bill. The first thing is the question of what's in the bill. It has a program called Pittman-Robertson. It's basically a gun tax. Every handgun you purchase is taxed at a rate of 10%. Every rifle you purchase is taxed at a rate of 11%. And you may not know this because the tax is hidden from you, but lo and behold, the infrastructure bill says we're going to take this gun tax and use it for infrastructure. And so that's our first problem, okay. What the bill is. Our second problem is basically what Biden feels he can do with the $1.2 trillion. As you know, about 2 weeks ago Monday, Joe Biden gave a speech. In his speech, he said, well, since we're not going to have any more COVID cases, we're going to use COVID money for gun control. So this bill gives Biden $1.2 trillion, which he has stated that he would use for gun control if he darn wanted to. The third problem is, of course, that Nancy Pelosi has said, incidentally, what the Senate sends over in terms of the infrastructure bill is not the final deal. I, Nancy Pelosi, will add any Democratic agendas which I want to add. And guess what the Democratic agenda which she is most frustrated over is? Gun control, universal background checks. The House appropriations bills have red flag gun confiscation, middle of the night raids, things like that. So there's that thing. And finally, there's AOC, who has said, oh, incidentally, you're not going to get this wonderful infrastructure bill unless you also pass $3.5 trillion of gun control, amnesty, and other things. So if the bill isn't bad enough already, it's going to be a hostage for something which is the end of the world for us. I mean, if, as the New York Post says, we have 35 million illegals who would get amnesty under this, the country would become California on steroids. It would be something we would never recover from in terms of pro-gun issues, in terms of any issues.
Had I not been listening to this this information that you're sharing, and for those that are listening to the program, Michael, I've got to tell you, I must be a sheep, because I thought infrastructure meant truly infrastructure. There's so much fat in this that, and this, we're just talking about the Second Amendment and how it affects it. What else are they jamming in there? That's the scary part.
Yeah, they're jamming in everything but roads and bridges. It's a $1.2 trillion bill.
Wow.
$116 billion, that is less than 10%, is for roads, bridges, and tunnels. So if you think that I-70 is going to be finally paved, then think again.
Get rid of those potholes. That's all we want. That's what Americans think, and that's why they're like, yay, go get that infrastructure bill.
When I drive to my high school reunion, I mean, certainly the worst section of I-70 in 1,500 miles is downtown St. Louis. So, you're not going to get your potholes filled. You are going to, in fact, spend $66 billion. That's a substantial portion of the amount supposedly going for roads and bridges. You're going to spend $66 billion so Joe Biden can take a train from Wilmington to Washington, D.C.
Wow.
That much goes for Amtrak. In addition, there's the Green New Deal. Huge amounts of money for electricity refueling stations. Huge amounts of money for electric powered cars. And it's as a matter of fact, about 90% of the bill goes for a Green New Deal as opposed to the roads, bridges, and tunnels, which you all presumably hope it will go for.
Well, which is a shame, because, you know, the original environmentalists in this country were the sportsmen, the hunters.
Right.
They've tried to turn that story into, somehow people who enjoy shooting sports are anti-environmentalist somehow.
Right.
And it's just sad. Yeah. It really is.
For a number of different arguments. Oh, they shoot lead bullets and those poison the eagles, and 18 different theories whereby the left claims that hunting, that the exercise of the Second Amendment, destroys the environment. So good luck with that, because large numbers of people, including people in St. Louis, who have seen rioters come down their streets and who have listened to your mayor say, we can't protect you, have all of a sudden realize that if they don't abandon their anti-Second Amendment views, they're putting their families and their homes and everything they care for in danger. So the country is, at this point, I think, moving toward a pro-Second Amendment stance, and this bill flies in the face of that and would presumably reverse, on behalf of Biden's electoral agenda, all of the progress the Second Amendment has made.
Well, Michael Hammond, the Legislative Counsel with Gun Owners of America, great to have him on here this morning. You know, I spoke to Mark McCloskey this week, and he had the governor of Missouri pardoned him for that case he's so famous for now in front of his house.
I saw that.
And, you know, this is important, because Cori Bush, the first congressional member here, a first congressional district member, blasted him for that. She can't believe he got, you know, she was in the crowd that he was trying to defend his private property from. They hate the Second Amendment, Michael. These people, she's now a member of Congress, this member of the squad. She hates the Second Amendment.
Yeah, I know, when she's not sleeping on the Capitol step.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I heard them doing some singing, right? They were singing different songs. There was a guy there, and I wish I would have grabbed the audio, and I will find it. He says, okay, for our next song, let's sing a song that's written by a great socialist. communist, actually, he added the word, and it was "This land is your land," and so they all broke into song with that, and I was like, hold on, I gotta look that up. Yeah. but for him to say that out loud, yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're not even hiding.
Well, truth isn't necessary if you're in the left. Being leftist means never having to say you're sorry. But if you look at Bush's encampment on the Capitol steps, I mean, she had like empty.
Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Carl, you're going to have to school me on this one.
That's the Beatles. Happiness is a Warm Gun.
What?
Yes.
Never have heard that. Have you?
I'm shocked.
It's John Lennon singing.
John Lennon would sing a song with. It must be satire, right?
No.
I'm guessing.
Skip Weber has nothing on you. Or you have nothing on... No. Skip Weber has nothing on you.
We compliment each other very well.
Is that what it is? It's a great partnership. Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. This segment brought to you by Razorback Armory, your gun concierge located in De Pere. Great store. If you've never been, stop in to see Jesse, Brad, and the crew a half a mile east of 270 on Manchester Road next to the tennis store. But find their address and find out all about Razorback Armory at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you.
Hey, good. So if you paid any attention to my show on 97.1, we've talked about this a lot, but the infrastructure bill that we've discussed has been a big issue because of the overspending and, you know, everything but the kitchen sink that's been crammed into this thing that didn't have anything to do with infrastructure. So you may be thinking to yourself, well, why are you talking to me about the infrastructure bill on 2A radio, right, and the Great Outdoors? Well, it could impact your Second Amendment rights as well.
Are you serious?
Oh, I know.
Hold on. I pictured Oprah saying, you get a bridge. You get a bridge. You get a bridge.
Yeah. That's it. We got Michael Hammond with us this morning, often a guest on my program. He's with Gun Owners of America. And Michael, welcome into the show, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you, Bo. Thank you, Mark.
Nice to meet you, buddy.
Hello, Michael. I was telling Bo just a minute ago about your St. Louis connection here. You went to Wash U, right?
Yes, although not particularly proud of it. I was there during during the Vietnam demonstrations, and I was one of the three attendees at that university who was a member of ROTC.
Oh, wow.
So I basically had girls try to jerk my pants off, not for the right reason. And... actually, that's an actual story.
This sounds like a real life experience.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah,
so I did have good memories. So.
Yeah, that's good.
Don't we all? That's called pantsing now, by the way. It's an actual thing.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
So Michael, back to this infrastructure bill. This is fascinating to me. How in the world has the left managed to turn an infrastructure bill into some anti-Second Amendment effort? What's going on here?
Well, first of all, Gun Owners of America, I think, is about to put out an alert saying vote against cloture on the infrastructure bill. The first thing is the question of what's in the bill. It has a program called Pittman-Robertson. It's basically a gun tax. Every handgun you purchase is taxed at a rate of 10%. Every rifle you purchase is taxed at a rate of 11%. And you may not know this because the tax is hidden from you, but lo and behold, the infrastructure bill says we're going to take this gun tax and use it for infrastructure. And so that's our first problem, okay. What the bill is. Our second problem is basically what Biden feels he can do with the $1.2 trillion. As you know, about 2 weeks ago Monday, Joe Biden gave a speech. In his speech, he said, well, since we're not going to have any more COVID cases, we're going to use COVID money for gun control. So this bill gives Biden $1.2 trillion, which he has stated that he would use for gun control if he darn wanted to. The third problem is, of course, that Nancy Pelosi has said, incidentally, what the Senate sends over in terms of the infrastructure bill is not the final deal. I, Nancy Pelosi, will add any Democratic agendas, which I want to add. And guess what the Democratic agenda, which she is most frustrated over, is? Gun control, universal background checks. The House appropriations bills have red flag gun confiscation, middle of the night raids, things like that. So there's that thing. And finally, there's AOC, who has said, oh, incidentally, you're not going to get this wonderful infrastructure bill unless you also pass $3.5 trillion of gun control, amnesty, and other things. So if the bill isn't bad enough already, it's going to be a hostage for something which is the end of the world for us. I mean, if, as the New York Post says, we have 35 million illegals who would get amnesty under this, the country would become California on steroids. It would be something we would never recover from in terms of pro-gun issues, in terms of any issues.
Had I not been listening to this this information that you're sharing, and for those that are listening to the program, Michael, I've got to tell you, I must be a sheep, because I thought infrastructure meant truly infrastructure. There's so much fat in this that, and this, we're just talking about the Second Amendment and how it affects it. What else are they jamming in there? That's the scary part.
Yeah, they're jamming in everything but roads and bridges. It's a $1.2 trillion bill.
Wow.
$116 billion, that is less than 10%, is for roads, bridges, and tunnels. So if you think that I-70 is going to be finally paved, then think again.
Get rid of those potholes. That's all we want. That's what Americans think, and that's why they're like, yay, go get that infrastructure bill.
When I drive to my high school reunion, I mean, certainly the worst section of I-70 in 1,500 miles is downtown St. Louis. So, you're not going to get your potholes filled. You are going to, in fact, spend $66 billion. That's a substantial portion of the amount supposedly going for roads and bridges. You're going to spend $66 billion so Joe Biden can take a train from Wilmington to Washington, D.C.
Wow.
That much goes for Amtrak. In addition, there's the Green New Deal. Huge amounts of money for electricity refueling stations. Huge amounts of money for electric powered cars. And as a matter of fact, about 90% of the bill goes for a Green New Deal as opposed to the roads, bridges, and tunnels, which you all presumably hope it will go for.
Well, which is a shame, because, you know, the original environmentalists in this country were the sportsmen, the hunters.
Right.
They've tried to turn that story into, somehow people who enjoy shooting sports are anti-environmentalists somehow.
Right.
And it's just sad. Yeah. It really is.
For a number of different arguments. Oh, they shoot lead bullets and those poison the eagles. And 18 different theories whereby the left claims that hunting, that the exercise of the Second Amendment, destroys the environment. So good luck with that, because large numbers of people, including people in St. Louis, who have seen rioters come down their streets and who have listened to your mayor say, we can't protect you, have all of a sudden realize that if they don't abandon their anti-Second Amendment views, they're putting their families and their homes and everything they care for in danger. So the country is, at this point, I think, moving toward a pro-Second Amendment stance, and this bill flies in the face of that and would presumably reverse, on behalf of Biden's electoral agenda, all of the progress the Second Amendment has made.
Well, Michael Hammond, the Legislative Council with Gun Owners of America, great to have him on here this morning. You know, I spoke to Mark McCloskey this week, and he had the governor of Missouri pardoned him for that case he's so famous for now in front of his house.
I saw that.
And you know, this is important because Cori Bush, the first congressional member here, a first congressional district member, blasted him for that. She can't believe he got, you know, she was in the crowd that he was trying to defend his private property from. They hate the Second Amendment. Michael, these people, she's now a member of Congress, this member of the squad. She hates
Yeah,
the,
I know, when she's not sleeping on the Capitol step.
Right, right.
Yeah, I heard them doing some singing, right? They were singing different songs. There was a guy there, and I wish I would have grabbed the audio, and I will find it. He says, okay, for our next song, let's sing a song that's written by a great socialist. Communist, actually, he added the word, and it was "This Land Is Your Land," and so they all broke into song with that. And I was like, "Hold on, I got to look that up."
Yeah.
But for him to say that out loud, yeah. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, they're not even hiding."
Well, truth, yeah, truth isn't necessary if you're in the left. Being leftist means never having to say you're sorry. But if you look at Bush's encampment on the Capitol steps, I mean, she had like empty Twizzler wrappers and empty McDonald's wrappers all skewed behind her bed on the Capitol steps. So it wasn't a pretty picture visually in a variety of ways.
Yeah, well, you know, at the end of the day, and Mark McCloskey pointed this out, he was on his property doing nothing other than sitting in his back porch grilling when a horde of people broke a gate into a private street and crossed his property, and he went outside to defend it. Now, you would think, according to Slate and these other left-wing organizations and Cori Bush, that he had somehow broken every law in America. Instead, the Castle Doctrine defended what he did. We said it from the beginning. It was a sham that he got charged to begin with. And I'm proud of the governor of Missouri for stepping in and pardoning him for this, because this was a political persecution.
I just asked anybody.
Yeah, a political persecution by a prosecutor, my understanding is, who was elected with the assistance of George Soros for the purpose of bringing politics to justice.
I challenge anybody to watch the video of that day that the crowd went past the McCloskey house and asked any Second Amendment supporter to say, what would you have done? How would you have done different? Mark and I had this conversation off the air. He said, I probably would have had my weapon holstered, but it doesn't mean I wouldn't be out there trying to let them know, hey, this is not where you're coming.
Yeah, well, it was it's not an inexpensive property when you have a mob coming down the street, and the realization that in many cities in America, about 144 of them, those mobs have felt free to burn any property which they encountered.
Yeah, it's a great point. Again, Michael Hammond, our guest from Gun Owners of America. I just want to point out for a moment, gunowners.org is your website. If people are supporters of the Second Amendment and they haven't gone there, I'd encourage them to do that, to at the very least sign up for your legislative updates, and more than that, show their support to the organization, because you guys are involved in, if not the lead in, so many important cases now pending before the courts. Are there any big ones that come to your mind, Michael, that you can tell our listeners about?
Well, right now, the administration is appealing the bump stock case to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals en banc. Now, what does that involve simply? It involves the question of whether a piece of plastic and a piece of foam rubber is a machine gun. The BATF has taken the position, yes, this is a machine gun, and if it is, then incidentally, a AR-15, semi-automatic, and there are 15 million of them in America, is also a machine gun. It's the foot in the door for trying to, with this anti-gunner, which they hope to put in as head of BATF, but I think we are going to succeed in defeating him. It was a foot in the door for him to say, your AR-15 is illegal. You are a felon. Your only option is to turn it in and destroy it. And, oh, incidentally, you're not going to get any compensation, notwithstanding the Fifth Amendment provisions to the contrary.
Wow. Thanks for your hard work, Michael. Very nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Yeah, good stuff. Michael Hammond, we'll talk again soon, my friend. Thanks.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely. Michael Hammond, Gun Owners of America, gunowners.org. They do a great job of keeping you up to date on all of that stuff.
And I do want to reference, because I did reference Woody Guthrie, This Land Is Your Land, just a moment ago.
Yeah.
It is one of the United States' most famous folk songs, according to Wikipedia, but it was an answer to Irving Berlin's God Bless America. And Woody Guthrie was a very well-known socialist.
Yes.
So the guy quoted it right. I was like, oh, my goodness. I've been singing that song all my life. This land is your...
Well,
I'll be listening to it next time I sing it on karaoke.
Yeah.
When I look over it, actually. Anyway, Mark, great to have you back, buddy.
Thank you, Bo. We appreciate that. Great to be back. Carl, thanks for everything. You've been listening to Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. We will see you next week.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.